Rose was sitting up in bed waiting for me. I remember noticing how pretty her bright hair looked against the white velvet headboard. "Well, now we can talk," I said, brightly, meaning you can. I no longer had any intention of questioning her about her feelings for Simon. Of course she loved him. Of course nothing would stop the marriage. My coming to London had been an idiotic mistake. "I don't think we ought to tonight," she said. This surprised me. She had seemed so keen on talking, but I just said, "Well, there'll be plenty of time tomorrow." She said she supposed so, hardly sounding enthusiastic, then asked me to put the roses in the bathroom for the night. As I went to get them, she looked down at Simon's card on the bedside table and said, "Chuck that in the waste paper basket, will you?" She didn't say it casually, but with a sort of scornful resentment. My resolution not to speak just faded away, and I said, "Rose, you don't love him." She gave me a little ironic smile and said, "No, isn't it a pity?" There it was, the thing I had hoped for. But instead of feeling glad, instead of feeling any flicker of hope, I felt angry. So angry that I didn't dare to let myself speak. I just stood staring at her until she said, "Well, say something." I managed to speak quite calmly. "Why did you lie to me that night you got engaged?"
"I didn't. I really thought I was in love. When he kissed me..." "Oh, you wouldn't understand. You're too young."
I understood all right. If Stephen had kissed me before I knew that I loved Simon, I might have made the same mistake, particularly if I had wanted to make it, as Rose did. But I went on feeling angry. "How long have you known?" I demanded.
"Weeks and weeks now. I found out soon after we came to London. Simon's with me so much more here. Oh, if only he wasn't so in love with me. Can you understand what I mean? Every minute we're together, I can feel him asking for love. It makes me want to scream. Oh, God, I didn't mean to tell you. I longed to. I knew it would be a relief. But I made up my mind not to, only a few minutes ago, because I knew it would be selfish. I'm sorry you got it out of me. I can see it's upset you dreadfully."
"That's all right," I said. "Would you like me to tell him for you?"
"Tell him?" She stared at me. "Oh, no wonder you're upset. Don't worry, darling, I'm still going to marry him."
"No, you're not," I told her.
"You're not going to do anything so wicked." "Why is it suddenly wicked? You always knew I'd marry him, whether I loved him or not, and you helped me all you could without ever being sure I was in love with him."
I didn't understand. It was just fun, like something in a book. It wasn't real. But I knew in my heart that my conscience had always felt uneasy, and I hadn't listened to it.
"Well, it's real enough now," said Rose grimly.
My own guilt made me feel less angry with her. I went and sat on the bed and tried to speak reasonably. "You can't do it, you know, Rose, just for clothes and jewelry and bathrooms."
"You talk as if I were doing it all for myself," she broke in on me. "Do you know what my last thoughts have been, lying here night after night? Well, at least they had enough to eat at the castle today. And why, even Heloise is putting on weight. And I've thought of you more than anyone, of all the things I can do for you when I'm married."
"Then you can stop thinking, because I won't take anything from you." Suddenly my anger came rushing back, and words started to pour out of me.
"And you can stop pretending that you're doing it for us all. It's simply to please yourself, because you can't face poverty. You're going to wreck Simon's life because you're greedy and cowardly."
I went on and on in a sort of screaming whisper. All the time I was conscious that I might be overheard, and managed to stop myself shouting, but I lost all control of what I said. I can't even remember most of it. Rose never once tried to interrupt. She just sat there staring at me. Suddenly, a light of understanding dawned in her eyes.